Welcome to Federal Insights. Digital transformation depends on infrastructure modernization, sponsored by Swish Data and Riverbed Technologies.
Technology modernization has become a higher priority imperative for nearly every federal agency since the pandemic struck. I recently interviewed Federal CIO Suzette Kent and Deputy Federal CIO Maria Rote on a variety of modernization topics. The forum was a webinar hosted by the trade group CompTIA. We started with lessons learned from 3 years of groundwork on modernization at the Small Business Administration. Rote credited staff at SBA, from which she recently departed as CIO, to become Deputy Federal CIO.
My former deputy, Guy Cavallo, and the entire SBA team, because they rock. I'm just going to put that out there. But as far as lessons learned, all the work that we had done for, over 3.5 years while I was there on SBA's digital transformation really paid off in spades. We were able to very easily flip to telework, which allowed us to focus on all the activities in the surge related to the disaster activities, as well as the CARES Act, all of those, the legislation that came out, the Paycheck Protection Program, the EIDL loans and grants, and being able to do that. And part of the lessons learned, is we had a lot of existing and cloud-based capabilities, and we had the staff already that understood that technology. So as we ramped up to meet the demands of both EIDL and PPP, the staff was there, our vendors were there, so we were able to turn up capabilities and add more capabilities very fast. There was significant cooperation across the entire agency. So with the CFO, our procurement executives, being able to move very fast. We work with GSA as well, when we needed to procure laptops and things like that for surge. And when I talk about surge, it's just not the technology. We're adding a couple few thousand people, and all of that's being added at the same time we're teleworking and getting everything in place for the CARES Act. Our vendor partners, I can't say enough about our vendor partners. That was one of the lessons learned. We had established contracts, established vendors, and they really came through when we needed them to move very fast and very quickly. So their capabilities and the contracts we already had in place allowed us to scale and scale fast, whether it was the hardware for laptops or cloud compute, the capabilities, spinning up VDMs, VDIs, all of that, we were able to do that. And even our cybersecurity capabilities that we had established, like every other federal agency with COVID, people think, oh, the federal government's going on telework, so they're going to turn off cybersecurity. That is not the case. And so all of that paid off again because we had put in such a robust program that we were able to, defend against it, and we had all the protections in place. On the lessons learned, I think there's always more to be able to do to within the agency and partnerships, being able to surge and adopt new technologies and move very fast. When you take the barriers out of the way, we were able to move very fast turning up capabilities. So some of the people talk about bureaucracy. Taking those things out of the way, we were able to accelerate things that were planned for this summer and later this year. For an example, we were building out a 360 view of our customer. We accelerated that so that we could bring in those tens of thousands of emails that were coming in every day, turn those into cases, and assign those cases to all of those service desk people who were answering the huge flood of calls that were coming in. That was a capability that we had envisioned, but we were able to build on the foundation we already had in place, and we were able to move very fast. All of that cross-cutting, across the agency, all of that technology, and bringing all of that together allowed us to move very fast when we took a lot of the barriers out of the way.
It sounds like the expression elastic cloud was really put to the test on the elastic side, and that might be the ultimate one that I've heard of in government. Would you say that that idea has been proven out?
It has. We had on our, so I'll give you an example. The president tweeted out about the Small Business Administration and called out SBA specifically. We surged on our website, and because you can scale automatically, our SBA.gov, it was an 800% increase in the number of hits that we saw within a couple of minutes. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing, Tom, to see the scalability. And it just, an 800% increase, and we didn't miss a beat on our website. It didn't go down. It absorbed the hits. It was able to cache and take all of those hits that came in within minutes. And it was, that's the beauty of the cloud, being able to surge. And then of course, it ramps right back down again.
All right. So the little agency that could. And Suzette, I guess probably sometimes being the federal CIO is, as the expression goes, like having a voice in a graveyard. There's lots of people beneath you. You're not sure they hear you when you talk. But now there's been a lot of thinking that maybe some new policies need to be shifted into place. And maybe we need to rethink modernization and how we go forward here.
I wouldn't necessarily say a voice in the graveyard. We've been talking about IT modernization for a long time. It has been one of our CAT goals in the president's management agenda, and we made fantastic progress. We made progress on many of the cloud elements that Maria talked about. We made progress on moving services to digital. We made progress on using commercial platforms for key business processes and changing both not just the tech, but the business. The situation, we talk about IT modernization every day in the technology community, but oftentimes people take for granted when everything works the way that it's supposed to. They take that for granted and think, well, that means everything's okay. But we know that we have to drive more, both in technology and scalability, the quality of citizen services, the efficiency of those services. So what this particular challenge did was put all of that up top of mind. The need to act quickly and scale quickly became mission critical. The as Maria said, the ability to reach into things that we were going to do maybe later in the year and pull forward and expand those across all agencies happened, very quickly. So when you ask yourself about, the policies, many of the policies are in place. The actions that we have to take at agencies, need to move more quickly. So we saw some of those digital services get scaled quickly, things that were already in development. We saw some get pulled forward, things that were planned for later. The cybersecurity initiatives, those were, accelerated. And, the fact that, again, we had so many vendors, step in, and these, in most of the cases, they were solutions that we already had in place in some way, shape, or form. We just used them to a greater extent and engage the business in those conversations. So Maria used the word bureaucracy. I would throw in there focus and urgency. And that's what we saw.
You're listening to an interview with federal CIO Suzette Kent and Deputy Federal CIO Maria Rote, interviewed for a recent CompTIA public webinar. We'll return with more after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Your network is the backbone of your agency, and during this pandemic, network capacity, speed, and security are more important than ever. Consider what IDC describes as the most significant advancement in the networking industry, software-defined WAN. Riverbed and Swish have teamed together to bring you SteelConnect EX, a centralized policy-based platform for dynamically managing application traffic across links and delivering the agility and cost-effectiveness your agency needs. Agility, performance, and security. Visit us at Riverbed.com.
Welcome back to an interview with Federal CIO Suzette Kent and Deputy Federal CIO Maria Rote, speaking during a recent CompTIA public webinar. In this segment, we discuss the Technology Modernization Fund and the potential for Congress expanding it, and how an update to how agencies are measured against the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act, the FITARA scores. Kent answers first.
Tom, Marie and I are both privileged to be part of the Technology Modernization Fund board and spend time with the agencies that are delivering the projects as well as look at proposals. And let's go back to a couple of things that are most critical about the Technology Modernization Fund. It is multi-year money. When we talk about broad scale transformation and modernization, those aren't things that we do in a single year. That doesn't take 6 months. Those are multi-year commitments that engage the business and the technology team, in most cases, citizens and mission serving individuals. And so the Technology Modernization Fund is a vehicle to
to do that.
It has one other really interesting piece, and that is the payback component. And in these initial projects, and the projects that have been awarded, that payback component is what maybe differentiates those, you know, from other things that we do as course of business. That is a very, you know, financially sound stewardship of taxpayer dollars kind of approach to how we drive change. We ought to be driving change because it better serves citizens, it's more efficient, and that we do use taxpayer funds in the right way. We have thought about what it might need to look like if the fund were bigger, if we needed to move more quickly. So there's some operational things we would need to do. We'd also have to look at some of the kind of complexities of how we operate and monitor today and probably scale, you know, that team. Maria will probably nod when I say this, and those who are involved with the board know we spend many hours every week working on this set of activities. So to be able to do that and to keep the cross-functional skill sets that we have that come from multiple agencies and multiple disciplines, we would probably need to expand, make some investments in our own tools in making those processes more efficient. But, you know, I'm going to close it with, you know, we have considered what those things may be. Concept of the Technology Modernization Fund is so critical to driving modernization because, as you said, the existing funds, if we don't have working capital, if we don't have increases in direct funding to agencies, it's the only way that we drive large-scale, multi-year, important transformation. I think there's been a track record for that. And I think some of the questions that are being asked right now show that there is a demand for it, not only from the mission-facing and agency teams, but from our citizens. And we're happy that, you know, that's something that Congress is interested in right now.
I want to switch gears here a minute and talk about something that does seem slightly bureaucratic, and that is the FITARA scorecards. Those are kind of ranking up there with FISMA scorecards and all the other scorecards going back in history. And I want to ask you both what changes you would like to see in that whole process. Maria, having come freshly from an agency that had to, I think, have one. I think SBA had a FITARA scorecard.
They had a good one.
Yeah, right. What would your thoughts be on how to update this whole thing and make it more relevant?
You know, to Suzette's comments and what I mentioned earlier, right? So the journey at SBA was more than 3.5 years. And to tie it into the TMF and the long-term modernization, the FITARA scorecard really needs to, how does that represent what we did as an agency at the SBA, right? 3.5 years, that's a long-term investment and modernization. And it does take a long time and it's a journey. And we want to make sure that the elements that are in the scorecard reflect those things that are and support that long-term journey. So we need to make sure that when we're looking at the scorecard, there's a lot of individual pieces in it. And are the things that the agencies have met and moved on, you know, being replaced by something else to support that long-term, but to be able to support that longer-term vision around modernization and making sure that we're serving the mission and what we're delivering to our citizens, because that's what we're doing this for, right? Technology enables the business of an agency and to improve its services to citizens. And how are we measuring that? If you look at SBA in a 3.5 year modernization journey, and there were still things that I would have liked to have hit, and how is the FITARA scorecard going to evolve over time to reflect that? And I think that's really critical and important because agencies are doing really good things, and we want to make sure that the scorecard is also measuring the right things too.
Sure. And Suzette, do you think that it reflects well on the way agencies acquire technology? I mean, the acquisition part of this is so hard to separate from the execution of it, the delivery of it. What's your thought there?
Yeah. I want to add one point to what Maria said around the scorecard, and I think she hit it well, but just to emphasize for this audience that when you look at a scorecard, it is a representation of what's been accomplished. And we want that scorecard to continue to evolve with the types of outcomes that we're trying to drive. And when I say we, yes, the technology community, but what we are doing is to serve mission, to better serve citizens, to be part of the business mission set of the agency. So the FATAR scorecard itself has been a journey, and we started in places that were about improving the hygiene and the transparency. And what you see by the fact that the scorecards have improved is that agencies have done those things. So now it's time for us to continue to lift the bar and look to those things. And just like having a conversation right now, you know, with Congress, we want the things on the scorecard to be things Congress cares about, things our citizens care about, and things that are meaningful. You know, acquisition is absolutely a part of, you know, that end-to-end journey. You know, Maria talked about sometimes breaking down, you know, bureaucracy. We want to have open and transparent conversations, but we also want to have speed and flexibility. So that's a conversation that we have to have throughout the entire process.
You're listening to an interview with federal CIO Suzette Kent and Deputy Federal CIO Maria Rote, interviewed for a recent CompTIA public webinar. We'll return with our third and final segment after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Your network is the backbone of your agency, and during this pandemic, network capacity, speed, and security are more important than ever. Consider what IDC describes as the most significant advancement in the networking industry, software-defined WAN. Riverbed and Swish have teamed together to bring you SteelConnect EX, a centralized policy-based platform for dynamically managing application traffic across links and delivering the agility and cost-effectiveness your agency needs. Agility, performance, and security. Visit us at riverbed.com.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Federal CIO Suzette Kent and Deputy Federal CIO Maria Rote, interviewed for a recent CompTIA public webinar. We discussed still another modernization tool, the Portfolio Management Dashboard, known as PortfolioStat. Kent answers first.
The similarities between, you know, FATAR and PortfolioStat, they're both about transparency and making information available. And in the same vein, we are looking at ways that we continue to improve the process. Each time we gather, you know, that information, we are, you know, encouraging agencies to move, you know, more towards a common nomenclature, ways to drive transparency, using the TBM framework. It is how we're communicating about the investments and where it is being spent, you know, investments of all size, to your point. And actually, as we modernize, we expect things to move into different categories. We may qualify something as major during a transformation initiative, and then we're just looking at our O&M later when we're in kind of a normal maintenance mode. One of the other important dialogues that we try to have is that software has a life cycle. And we should never just say, I have a project, I pay for the project, it's over, I don't have to spend another dollar. That's like saying you don't have to maintain your car or your home. It is a life cycle, and we should build in, you know, that life cycle. So will we always have opportunity to improve it? Yes. Is it effective? Absolutely. We have a responsibility to provide transparency about how funds are being spent and what's going on at agencies. And that is a vehicle that allows us to do it. And we'll continue to work with all the CIOs and with those who are using those dashboards and those tools to improve them. And, I would ask, you know, Maria to comment on it, because she's been on both sides. She's been on both the providing the data and using the data, but she's also been in the CIO Council heated debate where we talk about, you know, the value for the effort. So, again, continuous improvement. I don't know what you'd add, Maria.
So I agreed on all points on having to provide the data and use it and respond to questions on that data I provided.
So you are a blackjack player who has become a dealer now. And so you're kind of both sides of the table, you've seen.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. You know, the pandemic, we've talked about a lot of the good things that came out of it, ironically, at least in terms of moving federal IT modernization forward and lessons learned on investment planning and on capacity increases. But not everything has been good. And I guess let me make an analogy. If the IRS, and with the blessing of Congress, can move the tax filing deadline 3 months, pretty much anything on earth is possible. And so some of the dates in the OMB and the Federal CIO Office documentary guidance, such as the cloud smart deadlines and so on, have those been granted dispensation to be delayed somewhat? What are some of the effects on ongoing normal policy development with respect to what agencies have to do?
The areas where we have communicated, there's only a few areas where we've communicated specific date changes, and I'll come back to those. But at the beginning of the pandemic, there was guidance that was really important to consider. And that said, focus on the mission critical items, mission critical for continuity of your agency and those things that are about response. That focus helped us ensure that, you know, agencies could dedicate all of their resources across the board, you know, human, technology, capital, to those particular things. What we saw, use Cloud Smart as an example. Agencies went there. That was still part of their journey because it was part of their response. It was about mission continuity. I've spoken to others about how thrilled I was to see the broad scale adoption of collaboration tools, things that 2 years ago we had a tiger team knocking on the door of every agency every day saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you, you know, how far have you moved? And we moved amazingly quickly and sustained it across all the agencies. So some of the things we didn't have to change dates because the situation demanded that agencies move. We did move some dates for the federal data strategy, but we also pulled some things forward around data sharing protocols and around how agencies leverage certain data consistently and, you know, some of those types of things. So we also, we did shift. We were just talking about, you know, portfolio stat and data collection. We did shift some sets of examination activities in the environments that provide that data. And we moved some of those things to give agencies, again, more flexibility to focus on mission and response and a little bit more leeway to provide the data, you know, when they had an opportunity to not have their personnel working three shifts around the clock, you know, and we wanted to make sure that we got quality outcomes. So we wanted to give them the time to produce the same kind of quality outcomes.
Yeah, I guess it's probably a good time to maybe shout out to the IT staffs, the technical staffs in the agencies. And I know this was true at SBA, according to Guy, that there were people working around the clock weekends to keep things going, to expand those VPNs and to make sure the remote workers were remotely working, were able to do so. Maria, what's your feeling on how that all went? And is a little bit of regularity returning there?
Yeah, a little bit, because initially, again, folks were working 24 hours a day, pulling over all-nighters, especially when you have 7 days to roll out a new capability when the legislation hit on some things. And so things are slowly going back to, I won't call it normal, because of, you know, the disaster activities will continue, all of that work. But that initial, for about 90 days, that huge push, people were putting in a lot of hours working through the weekends. And so some of that that op tempo, if you will, is coming back down to relatively normal during disaster operations. But there's still plenty of work to do.
You've been listening to an interview with Federal CIO Suzette Kent and Deputy Federal CIO Maria Rote, recorded during a CompTIA webinar. To hear this interview again or share it, visit federalnewsnetwork.com and click on Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights. Digital transformation depends on infrastructure modernization. Sponsored by Swish Data and Riverbed Technologies.